Hello, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, and welcome to a pretty solemn episode of the Neurodivergent Magic Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about Palestine, and please, before you click away, I urge you to stick around for this episode. I know it's not my usual neurodivergent content. I know it's a little different. I know it's heavy, but this is really important, so please stick around. So on today's episode, what we're going to do is outline what is actually happening in Palestine, what's not happening in Palestine, and what's not happening in Israel, why you might be receiving some conflicting information about this, what information you can trust versus information you can't trust, and what you can do. So I will do my best to give some historical context to what's happening, because I think anytime we talk about current events without talking about history, we are chopping up the narrative, and that leads to more misinformation. So I do think historical context is important in this case and in most cases. So I will do my best to provide as much information as I can. As a general disclaimer, I am not a Palestinian scholar, or a scholar on Palestine, rather. I am just a person who has been learning a lot in the last couple of weeks, and I'm doing my best to share that information with you. So sources will be available in the show notes. If you would like to check where I am getting the information I am sharing with you, and I encourage you to do that, by the way, please always check the sources from the information you're receiving, especially right now. As we're going to get into here in a minute, this is a propaganda war. And it's important that you understand who is saying what and why, and whether or not it has factual merit. So let's start with what's going on in Palestine right now. So you might be hearing different things, but here is what the facts support. What's happening in Palestine right now is a genocide. And if that sounds extreme to you, if you're hesitant to accept that, that makes sense. You want to believe in humanity. You want to believe that we wouldn't do the whole genocide thing again, right? And I get that. I completely understand that tendency to disbelieve the idea that we could be experiencing a genocide right now, especially because depending on where you are in the world, it feels so disconnected from you. Like, at least that's how I feel sometimes, you know, like here I am making tacos and going Christmas shopping. How is it possible that on the other side of the world, there's a genocide happening? Wouldn't I feel it? Wouldn't there be more profound impacts on my daily life if that was true? But obviously, genocide is not defined by feeling, especially not a feeling of those not directly impacted. So let's take a look at the definition of genocide. According to the United Nations, genocide means any of the following acts committed with intent to destroy, in whole or in part, a national, ethnic, racial, or religious group, such as A, killing members of the group, B, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group, C, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part, D, imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group, or E, forcibly transferring children of the group to another group. According to this definition, what is happening in Palestine is unquestionably a genocide. But obviously, Israel wants you to believe that what's happening is not a genocide. No country in the world in all of history has ever admitted to committing a genocide, as far as I am aware. So no country is going to come out and be like, yeah, that's what we're doing. So they're going to try to convince you otherwise. And one of the big things that Israel is doing right now to convince people that what they're doing is not genocide is saying the common phrase you've probably heard many times now, Israel has the right to exist. Israel has the right to defend itself. And this is where context becomes very important in this situation, because theoretically, yes, according to the United Nations, countries and states do have the right to defend themselves from imminent threats using force if need be. So what is Israel saying they are defending against? They are saying they are defending against Hamas, which they are calling a terrorist organization, especially after October 7th. On that day, Hamas attacked Israeli civilians at a music festival in a highly organized attack. According to Israel's foreign ministry and Reuters and Al Jazeera, around 1,200 people were killed at the festival. However, according to the Middle East Monitor, and I'm quoting, new firsthand accounts from witnesses of Israel's clashes with Hamas militants on October 7th suggest that, in their desperation to contain the surprise incursion, Israeli troops indiscriminately fired on their own citizens with heavy weaponry, resulting in potentially scores of Israeli deaths from so-called friendly fire. So already we can see that everything is not exactly as it seems here. It's not as clear-cut and straightforward as saying, oh, well, Hamas is a Gazan terrorist organization and they killed 1,200 people. And of course, Israel has the right to defend itself from that kind of attack. And it totally makes sense for them to then attack back, right? If we look at it that way, it can seem really clear-cut. But honestly, international conflicts are never clear-cut. Anytime something seems that simple, you want to look deeper. And that's what we're going to try to do here now. So here's a couple of questions that we're going to be asking. First, is Hamas truly a terrorist organization? Is that a fair label to assign them? What led to the Hamas attack on October 7th? Is the Israeli response proportionate in any way? I obviously have my opinions on this. My opinions are informed by fact-based sources. However, it is possible you could draw other opinions. So I want to be super clear that this is my opinion. And again, I am not an expert on this. This is just, I am absorbing what the experts are saying and giving that information back to you. Again, all of these sources are available in the show notes. If you're listening to this and you're American, it can be very tempting to hear terrorist organization attacks music festival and to have a lot of like 9/11 feelings come up and to be very, very angry and to really not want to listen to anyone when they try to explain that Hamas may actually not be a terrorist organization because it is so baked into our American experience, this rage and fear around terrorist attacks because of a terrorist attack that took place on our soil. So I understand that, and I'm not trying to negate that, nor am I trying to devalue any Israeli life lost in that attack. Absolutely not. However, I do think it's worth asking, who are the terrorists and why do they get that label? It's very interesting that terrorism actually has no clear definition in international law. According to the Practical Guide to Humanitarian Law, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. And that is hugely important in what's going on here. Because sure, it sounds easy to say, of course Hamas must be a terrorist organization. They killed 1,200 people. But first of all, we already know that at least some of those deaths were from the Israeli military. And we also know that Hamas did not appear out of nowhere. Hamas did not organize because they hate Jews, because this is a very common misconception about Hamas. You will see a lot of this online saying Hamas wants to exterminate all of the Jews and they are against Jewishness. And actually, Hamas has a charter where they have outlined their objectives and their ideology. And you don't have to agree with any of it, but it is important to know what they have proclaimed that they stand for. And they actually have been very clear in saying that their problem is not with the Jewish people because they are Jews. Their problem is with the Zionist project. Okay, so what is Zionism? According to a document published by the University of Michigan, Zionism, or Jewish nationalism, is a modern political movement. Its core beliefs are that all Jews constitute one nation, not simply a religious or ethnic community, and that the only solution to anti-Semitism is the concentration of as many Jews as possible in Palestine/Israel and the establishment of a Jewish state there. The World Zionist Organization, established by Theodore Herzl in 1897, declared that the aim of Zionism was to establish, quote, a national home for the Jewish people secured by public law. Zionism drew on Jewish religious attachment to Jerusalem and the land of Israel. The politics of Zionism was influenced by nationalist ideology and by colonial ideas about Europeans' rights to claim and settle on other parts of the world. It's important to note that not all Jews are Zionists, and not all Zionists are Jews. And Hamas has been very clear about the fact that they do not take issue, nor do they target Jewish people for the sake of being Jewish. They take issue with the Zionist project and are a resistance group designed to resist the Zionist project. Hamas is a resistance group that was born of occupation, decades of occupation from the Israeli government, but even before that, the land of Palestine has been occupied by Assyrians, Babylonians, Persians, so many different people, and of course the British. Israel as an ethnostate was established in May of 1948, and this establishment of the State of Israel led directly to what is called the Nakba. Nakba directly translates to catastrophe, and it is the forced displacement of nearly 1 million Palestinian people off of Palestinian land. And according to Al Jazeera, this actually didn't begin with the creation of Israel. It started well before. By the time Israel was created, over 375,000 Palestinian people had been forcibly removed from the land. And many people are calling what is happening in Gaza right now with the mass displacement of so many Gazan people the 2023 Nakba, as people are again forced off of their land. And you might be thinking, Megan, this is all very interesting and it does provide a very necessary context, but the murder of civilians is still wrong. And if you hold that belief, I encourage you to continue holding that belief as we move forward into what is happening in Palestine right now. As of November 13th, over 11,000 Palestinians have been killed. For reference, that is the same number of people as can fit in Welcome Stadium, a football stadium in my hometown of Dayton, Ohio. We could pack that stadium full and then kill everyone in it, and that would represent how many Palestinian people have died, an entire football stadium of people. This is in no way a proportionate response to what happened on October 7th, nor is it a proportionate response to Hamas or to the threat of the Palestinian people in general. According to the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, prior to October 7th, only 309 Israelis had been killed in the so-called conflict between Israel and Palestine. Of those 309 people, 191 Israeli people were actually killed in Palestine, not in Israel, meaning they were likely murdered by their own government. And of those 309 people, 177 were civilians, but 132 were Israeli forces. In comparison, we are talking about 11,000 Palestinian civilians, half of which are children. And by the way, if you were wondering what those numbers look like for the Palestinian people before October 7th, between 2008 and just before October 7th, 6,541 Palestinian people were killed, 1,140 in West Bank, 38 in Israel, and 5,360 in Gaza. And all of them were civilians. Do you want to know why all of them were civilians? Because Palestine doesn't have a military. They are an occupied nation. They have no military. So any attack on them is an attack on their people. In contrast, Israel has ground forces, an air force, and a navy. If you condemn Hamas, but you do not condemn Israel, I need you to ask yourself how you would defend yourself against an army, a navy, and an air force when you had no military. What would you do? This is a genocide. And no matter how much the Israeli government tries to convince us that Palestinian people are animals or that there is no such thing as an innocent Palestinian civilian, it is our duty as global citizens to recognize genocide when it is happening and to do what we can to stop it. So what can we do to stop this genocide, to save innocent lives? First, I recommend calling your representatives, and I recommend calling them every day. If this is intimidating to you, I know this is a neurodivergent podcast. Many of us have anxiety. Many of us are autistic, and phone calls are a bit of a nightmare for us. There is an email option, and that can be helpful. But I do believe that White House staffers are telling us that phone calls are the most effective way to impact your representative. So if you can call, please do so. I really recommend the Five Calls app. It's available in Apple and Android app stores, or there's a website version. Basically, you put in your zip code and it gives you your representatives and it gives you their phone number and it gives you a script of what to say when it comes to calling for a ceasefire in Palestine. How does this help? Okay, so the United States provides a ton of financial support to Israel. In fact, we just approved a $14 billion aid package to Israel. And calling your representative day in and day out to let them know that this does not represent your interests and you do not intend to vote again for anyone who supports this kind of aid or supports the genocide happening to the Palestinian people right now at the hands of the Israeli government, can influence them to change their mind because these people are very attached to their elected position. And if they know your vote will be affected by this, they are potentially more likely to change their mind. And if enough House representatives and senators start to speak out in favor of a ceasefire and against what Israel is doing, against our financial support of what Israel is doing, then hopefully, people higher up, like the president, will start to condemn what Israel is doing, and that could lead directly to the end of this genocide. The next thing we can do is boycott companies that support Israel. And we are not just going to boycott every company that supports Israel, because there are a lot of them. Instead, the BDS movement, which is the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions movement, recommends a targeted boycott, which is where you pick a couple of companies that are strongly associated with supporting Israel and you boycott those. Hit them where it hurts. Concentrate our efforts. You may have heard about the Starbucks, McDonald's, Disney boycotts. Those are all actually what are called organic boycotts. Those are boycotts that grassroots efforts have organized rather than the official BDS movement in response to how these companies are handling the genocide going on in Palestine right now. For example, Starbucks is suing its own union because the union posted something online in solidarity with Palestine. However, the companies that the BDS movement are specifically asking us to target are companies like Puma, Remax, SodaStream, and HP. Finally, you can attend protests. There have been demonstrations and marches all around the world with unprecedented numbers coming out in support of Palestine. Not only does this demonstrate to our representatives, hey, we don't support this, I also can reach out to the people of Palestine who do still have access to a phone and access to the internet, which is not everyone, but people who do have reported that seeing these numbers, seeing these people coming out in support of them has been incredibly hope-giving. Now, if all of this sounds overwhelming and you're like, I can't do all of this, I just can't, here's what I want to remind you. No one can do everything, but everyone can do something. So pick what you can do and do it well. Thank you so much for taking 20 minutes of your time to learn a little bit about what's going on in Palestine and why and what you can do to stop it. I'll talk to you all next Saturday.